Hello.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, as David mentioned, my name is Ben. I know most of you, there are a few new people in here, that's all right. I'm gonna get you guys to grab your Bibles, hold it in your hand, and as you grab your Bible, I'd like you to also turn to the person who's talking next to you and say, can you be quiet because I wanna hear Ben. So last week, we started a conversation on character. We talked a bit about the fact that we're starting this series where we want to take you through the core values of what we believe here in the Youth Network, what our goals are for each one of you as young people to walk in. And who can tell me what they are other than the fact that it says character up there? What are the goals and the vision that we have as a ministry? Any suggestions, any ideas as to what the answer is? Yes, David. No. Love, yes. That's obviously a goal, but that's not part of our vision statement. But yes, love. Abby? Integrity is one of them, yes. To raise young people in relationship with God, to walk out in integrity, yes. Devotion's good, but that's not in the statement. Identity, yeah, good one, Sheena, who's never been here before, so I'm curious to know how you got that one, Gloria. I actually did need to cough right there. And character, what do those three things mean? Well, that's what we want to look at over the next few weeks. So here's what I'd like you to do. I'm gonna give you about 10 seconds to reposition your chairs, to move, because I am gonna put you in some groups to do some discussion in a little bit. So you may wanna be either close to your friends or away from your friends, depending on how we are going to set up the groups. So it's a random game of chance. So I'm gonna give you 10 seconds from the time I say go to find another seat in this room or stay right where you are. And you have to stay in the chairs or the couches, but I'm gonna ask you all if you're on the floor just to grab a chair to sit in for this exercise. And 10 seconds starts now. Random game of chance. Choose your seat. Choose a seat if you wanna be in the same group as someone. 4, 3, 2, 1, and we're done. I'd anticipated being able to drink some water during those 10 seconds, but I didn't do that. I forgot until second 4. All right, so last week we talked about character. We started it off by defining what character is. And so I'm gonna give you a quick recap of what we talked about last week. Before we do that though, we're gonna pray. So everyone just close your eyes. Father, I thank you so much that you are here with us, that God, you desire to show us incredible things. Lord, I thank you that you desire for each one of us to walk in knowing who we are and knowing who you are, and God, that you desire for us to be prospered and to see success. And so, Lord, I ask that as we speak tonight on character, that you'd help reveal new things to us, maybe things that we've never heard of or learned before, but most of all, God, would you grab hold of our hearts and just be here in the midst of us, I pray. In your name, amen. Character. Basically, part of what I wanted to start off with is character is a quality that is seen in Christians. What is it that defines character? I guess it would be, it's like integrity, which is sort of the kind of person you are when no one else is looking, right? That's what integrity basically is. Character is like that, but a little different, because you can't have character if no one else is around to see it. Because character is something, it's linked to your reputation. It's something that others get to see in you. It's something that others can recognize about you. That's really what character is. And as Christians, we're meant to be people of character, people of trustworthiness and honesty and those kind of things. It's seen by others. The other thing we talked a bit about is crisis. When circumstances come against us, when things go wrong, does that build character? No, it doesn't. What crisis does is show us the kind of character that we walk in. Let's say you're driving a car, which for most of you would be illegal, so let's hypothesize for a moment that you're legally able to drive a car. Some of you who can probably shouldn't drive a car. I'm just saying, myself included, sometimes. Hypothesize that you're driving a car and you get into an accident, or somebody hits you. We'll blame it on the other person. You get into an accident. In the moment that you get in the accident or you have a near miss, what are the words that come out of your mouth? That is going to be an indicator of character. I remember my assistant youth pastor, when I was a youth, I was in a car with her. I'm so struggling because I don't want to say their name. And they got into like a near miss, and the first words out of their mouth was a swear word. And it was like, they were just as surprised as us, you know? It just, in that instantaneous moment, they reacted. And I'm not saying they had poor character, but what I am saying is crisis shows the kind of character that we walk in. When hard times come your way, when circumstances seem to be beating down on you, are you going to constantly be complaining and going on about how sucky life is? Or are you going to stand on truth, which is the word of God, that says it doesn't matter what circumstances come your way, he's never going to leave you or forsake you? That's what character is. Crisis doesn't grow it, but it shows it. As I mentioned earlier, character is linked to our reputation. Have you ever heard of someone before you've ever seen them? Let's say your school. Yes, yeah, so good, thanks, raise your hands if that applies to you. At school, you're in school and you hear about the new kid. You hear some rumors, oh, that new kid is really cool. Or you hear some rumors, that new kid, they smoke up a lot. You know, you hear different things about someone before you meet them. What's that called? That's called reputation. What does your reputation say about you? When you're not around, what kind of things do people that know you and don't know you talk about when they talk about you? Because people are naturally going to talk about you because that's just the way life goes. Reputation is closely linked with your character. And the last thing we left you with last week was about how are you going to choose to live your life? Are you going to choose character or compromise? When hard times come, when it looks like life sucks, or it looks like something horrible is happening, are you gonna take sometimes the easier way and compromise what you know to be the right moral choice in order to get the easy way out, or are you gonna choose to maybe do something that's a little more difficult, but it leaves your character intact? And that's where we left off last week. And this week, we're picking up by talking a little bit more about what character looks like in a regular circumstance, what character looks like in the Bible, what character looks like for you guys nowadays. And part of tonight is going to be you guys talking about that, because I like it when other people talk. Here's the thing. Anyone can say that they have character, but the true measure of character comes down to one thing. What do you think that one thing is? Love. That's a good Christian answer, but not necessarily the right fit for this. Same with Jesus. Jesus is a good answer to everything, but not this question, all right? The question is, if character, let me recap my question because I don't remember. Anyone can say that they have character, but what is one thing that shows character? What is the one thing it comes down to? Action, thank you. Action is going to speak, like I said, louder than anything you can say about your character. You can tell the world, I could stand up here, or I could stand up at freshman, or stand up anywhere in front of people and say, smoking is wrong. But as soon as I go out when no one else is around and I start smoking, then my action is not speaking louder than my words, right? It's not lining up with what I know is correct. What I stand on is my moral belief, as I stand on what I know is right and good. Your walk talks, follow me with this one. Your walk talks and your talk talks, right? So your walk talks and your talk talks. But your walk talks louder than your talk talks. Your walk talks louder than your talk talks. And that's what life comes down to. It doesn't matter if it's good or it's bad. Your action is going to speak way louder than anything you could say about how you live. And that's a scary thing, but it's also a really good thing, because it means for people like us as Christians, we have to actually get what we say matching up to what we do. Little difficult, but it's a good thing. This scripture, James 2:18, but someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. Ooh, those are good words. Think of it like this. I can say, I have faith, and I do good works. And you could say, yes, but you'll be able to see my faith by what I do. I could say smoking is wrong, but what's better is just choosing not to smoke and letting that shine through when smoking comes up. Any other suggestions as to a good character scenario? Talking about things in school. David? Ooh, that's a good one, because I do that. I sometimes judge people. Not all the time, though. I haven't judged many of you in this room yet tonight, so that's good. But exactly right, judging. We talk about, hey, it's not good to judge people. Look at the inside, not the outside. And how many times when certain people walk by your car or walk by your house, you sort of hold your purse a little tighter or you lock your doors? Situation where your action speaks louder than your words, yes. Gossip, ooh, that's a good one. You know why? Because your friends, the people who you trust, are the ones you usually gossip to. So I guess if you're looking at what it means to have character and your actions need to speak louder than your words, a really good thing to do would be to have friends who'll call you on things when you're doing things wrong. Make sense? Right? If you want to be someone of character, put yourself around people who will hold you to what you believe is right. Now, here's the thing. Sometimes when you're being held to what you know is right, in most situations you're like, okay, I know this is right, I shouldn't do this. Let's use the smoking example again. I don't know why I'm sticking on smoking, but it's a good example. Let's say you know and you're constantly saying smoking is wrong, I don't want to smoke, I don't think anyone should smoke, but then like a situation comes up, you're with some friends and you're about to take a cigarette. Your friends should hopefully give you a quick smack in the face in love and say, what are you doing? We know that you shouldn't be smoking. You tell us smoking is wrong. You don't want to smoke. Why are you going to do this? Another good example, going to a party where you know there's going to be a lot of drinking. Sneaking out of your house, lying to your parents. All these kind of things that basically say, this isn't what I believe. You need to have friends around you who are going to hold you to it to make sure that you're able to walk out what you believe and know to be right. Let me put it to you this way. Even a child is known by his acts, whether or not what he does is pure and right. Even children, even little Addie can show, where is Addie? Oh, she had some really cool drawings tonight. But even Addie, even a small little baby, you can see the kind of character that they're growing in based on their actions. They might not be able to communicate very well, but what I'm trying to say is they are communicating perfectly well about the kind of character they have, right? So if children can show their character, how much easier is it for us who can talk to show our character? The character of a child can be known by the way he acts, whether what he does is pure and right. There's a lot of things you do have control over and a lot of things you don't have control over. Let's look at that for a sec. What are things in your life that you have control over? For instance, having out your cell phone and typing and your friend talking to you at the same time while someone's speaking. That's a really good one. That's something you can control. Okay, let's talk about things that are in your sphere of control. What kind of things can you control on a daily basis for you guys as young people? Yes, Abby, what you say, that's a really good one, yes. Your temper, why did you have to say that? But that's true, yes. Our thoughts, yes. Our actions, yes. Oh, that's a good word. I said that, like that just lines up. I wasn't even thinking actions, but it works. Josh, oh, you said attitude? Oh, attitude's good too. Josh? Okay, how about the clothes you put on? Does your mom pick out all your clothes for you today, folks? How many of you wish that your mom picked out your clothes for you? You guys can choose like what clothes you're gonna wear, the attitude you're gonna have, how much talking you're gonna do when we're having a group discussion. You can have control over those things, but there are some things in your life you don't have control over. For example, what things don't you have? The weather is a good one. What else don't you have control over? Your eye color, I would say yes, except you can change your eye color, right? You can put on other colored contacts, and so other people can perceive your colored eyes differently. What else? Exactly, Michael Jackson. Yes. Hang on, Josh is talking. What? The future. You know what, though? If anything taught me, Star Trek taught me anything, it is that you can change the future, right? The past, at this moment in time, we cannot change, so yes, you are right. There are other things you cannot control. Like, you can't choose who your parents are gonna be. You cannot choose who your parents are gonna be. Even if you go back in time, even with temporal mechanics, you cannot choose your parents. You can't choose your families. You guys can't choose your IQ. You can choose to work harder to get smarter, but you can't choose some of these things. And there are some things, guys, listen, shh. There are some things you can and can't choose, but one thing you can choose is something most of you talked about that all links back into your character. You can choose what kind of reputation you're going to leave. You can choose by the choices you make every day as to what kind of person you are. Talents are a gift, but character is a choice. You can't necessarily choose what skills you're going to be born with. I am going to be born with the most incredible basketball skills. You can work at it to try and get better at basketball. But your character is something you choose every moment of every day. As I said earlier, some of your choices are shining through even now tonight around the other people that are around you, right? That's how character works. Every time you make a choice, every time you choose to turn on the TV or turn it off, every time you choose to stay longer on the internet instead of doing your homework, or that you choose to leave. It was going to be a good one. When you choose to do things like get off the internet early so you can spend more time on your homework. Every single one of those choices builds up your character, and every single one of those choices directs the kind of person you're going to be. Are you going to choose the easy way or the right way? Sometimes the easy way is easier than the right way, right? But sometimes the right way is actually easier than the wrong way. So that makes it good. But for the most part, are you going to choose the right way or the easy, simple way? Sometimes we will. You're right. Honestly, human nature, there are times where you will choose to do the easy thing and it won't match up to what you know is right. But there's grace, which we don't even need to get into right now. One thing I want to tell you, character, hey, it brings a lot of success to your life. You know why? Because people of good moral standing and people who are trustworthy are the ones in companies more often than not that are given promotions. They're the ones who are given raises. And character brings success, and it also brings about opportunity to like evangelize to other people, because your reputation goes before you sometimes. And so even before you like get into certain situations, people already know that you're good. You know? So character brings about success. Good character will open up doors for you, and it will open up lasting relationships with people. How many of you have friends who lie all the time? Okay? How many of you enjoy being around those friends who lie all the time? Good point. So like 10 of you rose your hands to say you know liars, but all 10 of you lowered your hands to say that it's not good to be around them. You just don't enjoy it. Sometimes I'm sure it could be funny, right? Like, because sometimes, no matter how bad lying is, sometimes it can be funny, right? Like, I have this thing on my desk. It's this little shocker. And yesterday someone came in and they went to pick it up. And I'm like, is this one of those shocker things? And I could have said yes or no, but I just said, put down my stuff, don't play with my toys. And they were like, oh, well, I can do what I want. And they screamed because they got shocked. And I was like, yes, you know? Good character opens up doors for you. It opens up the opportunity to have solid, lasting relationships with people. Here's one thing I want to say. People cannot rise above the limitations of their character. Now, if you think about that for a second, process it. As much character as you live in, you cannot go past that. You can't rise above the character that you choose to live in. If you're untrustworthy, you're not going to be given the keys to the safe. If you have experience that continually shows that you steal, you're not going to be put in a situation where you're going to have control of money. You cannot rise above the limitations of your character. We can't go above the limits of our character. Have you ever seen highly talented people? Now, not just necessarily heard about these people, but maybe seen them on TV and movies, TV shows. Highly successful people, CEOs, everything else, but they fall apart when they reach a certain level of success. They start to lose their moral guidance as to what kind of person they should be. They start to, you know, yeah, you can name any pretty much Disney pop star once they are done signing with Disney, and there's quite a good example there. By the way, Justin Bieber, did you guys know the tagline to his movie is "Nothing is impossible for God"? And I'm saying this in the microphone on a recording. Your sister got kissed by Justin Bieber when he was younger. Anyways, what I wanted to say is this: success. People, you see people who are really successful and then they start to fall apart. Like, I mean, really, how much money do you actually need? When you become a CEO and you start shoveling off millions and millions of dollars from your company and putting it in your pocket while people that work for you are starving, you know, like people lose it because of exactly what I said, the limits of their character, they can't rise above it. Right? Success without a good foundation of character is bound for failure. If you want to see success, if you want to be a successful businessman or a woman, if you want to be someone who is known for being successful, you're going to need to start to build up your character now, because the foundation of character will set you up for success. I'm going to get you to partner up in groups of four, all right? Now, your groups of four, these are going to be the specifications. You can't know the last name of anyone else in your group. If you do, they can't be in your group. And there needs to be two guys and two girls in each group. So find yourself partners. Now, be honest, this is a good character time, all right? I'd like leaders to not actually join the groups. Leaders, yeah, join a group, David. I mean our out of high schoolers. You guys have 10 seconds to find a group. That's fine. Well, guys, pause for a second. Don't know the last name of anyone in your group, because my point is I want you to get to know some people that you don't already know. That's fine. Do you know his last name? There you go. You're set. Groups of four. Go for it. Once you're in a group of four, I want you to sit down and stay quiet. Move yourselves. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3. That doesn't make any sense. You know each other. You came together. She's your sister. That's just sad. One, freeze. Freeze. Your mouths too. Okay, all right. Here's what I want you to do. You've all formed groups. Leaders, your job for this task is to not direct these groups, okay? Your job is, yes, to keep some order, but your job is not to come up with the ideas here, all right? Keep order. What I want you guys to do is, I'm going to give you about 2 minutes. You should grab your Bibles, by the way. And I want you guys to find a good example of character, not a character in the Bible, but a good example of character, and we'll see if all of you come up with the same answers or if a group has a unique idea. Biblical example of character, all right? Go. No, not a story. A biblical example of someone showing character in the Bible. Jesus is out of the question for this answer. All right? Now, what I want you to do once you find that person is ask these three questions. What was it that caused their character to be seen? You guys listening? What was it that caused their character to be seen? Second question, what was it that helped them grow in their character? And thirdly is, I'll tell you the third question later because I don't know what it is. Character. I want positive character. Positive character. Jesus is out of the question. David is out of the question, because David is easy. I know. You just said Job was your favorite, didn't you? Or was that him? All right, go for it. You're looking for character. Ask other groups if you forget the questions, because I said them like 10 times. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to say one more thing, and then we're going to talk about our groups and what you found with character. So if you guys could all pay attention. That is, in the early church, in Acts, you actually come across a point in Scripture in which the disciples, the 12 of them, like right after Jesus has left, they're preaching, teaching, they're doing the things that Jesus commanded them to do, and they discover that there's a need to appoint new leaders. There's a point in which they can't do all of the stuff God has called them to do and still take care of the people. And so they meet together as a group of 12, and this is what they say at the end of it. They say, we need to choose 7 men from among us whom everyone trusts, men full of the Spirit and with good sense, and will assign them to the task. In other words, the 12 disciples of Jesus, that we need to find people who are full of the Spirit and they have good sense and they're people that everyone trusts. And those are the three things that they determined were what they needed in someone to hold them in good character, and they were able to appoint them into doing something. And so, for each of you, appoint someone from your group. You can just yell it out at me. Let's start with this group. Right to my right, who is your Bible person that you discovered had character? Job, come on up for a sec. Let's turn on one of these. Bryson, hold this mic for a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, quit talking. Tell us, Job, answer the two questions. Do you remember what the two questions were? All right, what was it? How can you tell me that Job had character?
Well, Job used to have a lot of land and money, but God took that all away from him. God took that all away from him, and Job had nothing. His whole family was gone, dead.
They all got wiped out. They were having a party, and the wind blew, and the roof collapsed on his whole family. Yes.
Yeah, and so Job had nothing, so he's homeless, and he got sores all over his body, but the whole time he never actually left God, mm-hmm. and he stayed on with God, even though he did complain. We complain to God a lot, but God wants us to complain because it helps us grow.
Okay, yeah. So Job had a ton of crisis. You took the crisis example. Job had a lot of circumstances that spoke, like that were cruddy, right? They were horrible circumstances, and yet throughout it all, he never stopped praising the name of God. There is a circumstance in which God shows up and sort of chastises him and puts him in his place. But you're right. Job showed good character. Now, the second question was, first one was, how can it be seen? The second one was, what kind of things grew his character? What do you think grew Job's character?
Pain and suffering.
Pain and suffering. I think that's part of it, but there's something else that I'm looking for specifically with Job. Think of what most of Job is written about. Okay, yeah, loss. But what is the book of Job full of? It's full of people talking to him. What people?
His friends.
His friends. And what were they saying? His friends were talking all this trash about Job and saying, Job, it's because you are a sinner that God causes to happen. It's because you did this wrong that it happened. And never once did Job retaliate with angry words against them. He spoke truth when he came back to them. So, good example. Thank you, Bryce, and your team did well. Let's jump to David. Who in your team is going to come up and quickly share? David, come on up. David, who is your character that showed character in the Bible? Go for it.
We chose the character David.
Which David?
Not me. David in the Bible.
The king?
This, the king.
Oh, did I? I'm not sure if I did. Did I say you can't choose? That's fine.
Did?
You chose David anyways. That's okay.
I heard Jesus.
I only said don't choose David because it's obvious. But let's get into the specifics. How could you see his character and what grew it?
Well, the time when he went to, he had the chance to kill Saul in his tent, but he chose not to.
Yeah. Or the time he could have killed Saul in the cave too.
Yeah,
there were quite a few.
Yeah.
But that's good. So he chose not to kill Saul. How does that show you his character?
We even know that Saul drove him away and like chased him all around, and he had the chance to kill him. He decided not to because he was merciful.
Yeah, if David killed Saul, what would have happened? Would he have become king?
No.
Really?
Well, maybe.
I think the answer would be yes, because the men wanted David as king. The people of Israel wanted David as king, but he chose not to kill Saul. Did it make it harder?
Yes.
Okay, so the easy choice. Saul is relieving himself in a cave. You can interpret what that means from Scripture. And David is in the cave with all his mighty men, and he could kill Saul. He chooses not to. Is that the easy choice or the right choice?
Right choice.
Right choice. But his friends in that circumstance, what did they say to him?
Kill him.
Kill him. So sometimes your friends don't necessarily speak the best about the character you should walk in, but more often than not, your friends will hold you to what you know is right. Thank you, David. That was a great example. Let's pull up Gloria. Who from your group is going to come up? Joshua, come on up. Tell us, who is your... Now, just hold the microphone right about here.
Esther.
Esther. That's a good example. Show me, or tell me, what circumstances led to her growing character, and how did you see she walked in character?
Well, the circumstance that we chose was the one where Haman makes the plot against the Jews to kill them.
Yeah.
But no one knows that Queen Esther is a Jew, so that puts her in the place that she can choose to just stand by and let her people suffer, or she can join in and try and save them by going to the king.
So what did she do? She ended up going to the king, and what happened?
She asked him to make a new law that they would be able to defend themselves on that day.
Very true. So in terms of Esther showing character, what do you think led her to the place where her character was shown? What kind of circumstances? What kind of things do you think maybe she had to do on a regular basis? Because there's a very specific instance where her uncle comes into the mix, Mordecai, and he sort of has to give her an encouragement to do what's right. Do you remember that point?
Yeah, she's unsure of what to do, and then but first of all, before that, she hears it from Mordecai because he had put sackcloth on and put ashes on his hair.
And everything else, yeah. So Mordecai basically says to Esther, you need to step up here because if you don't, our people are going to die. And Esther had someone in her life who was able to do the loving smack up her head and say, hey, do what's right here, and she was able to. And so we see Esther walked in character. Thank you, Joshua, for you and your group. David, who from your group is going to quickly come up? Ernesto, tell us, who is your Bible character of choice that shows character?
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Your Bible characters. Okay. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So you guys did triple the work. Really, you're probably just going to have the same answer for all three people. So that's good. Why don't you turn so that everyone can see you? Tell us, what is it about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that showed their character?
That even when the king gave them a second chance to bow to the idol, they chose the furnace.
They chose the furnace? Wow. Easy choice or hard choice? Let me put it to you this way. The furnace is from that pole to that pole, okay? The guys that are stoking the furnace with coals happen to just get close enough that the very heat from the fire, not the flames, the heat from the fire kills them dead, and they're not even in the furnace, and these guys choose to go in the furnace. Why did they choose to go in the furnace?
Because they were not going to go against the God of Israel.
They weren't going to go against the God of Israel by doing what?
By bowing to an idol.
By bowing to an idol. Easy choice or hard choice? Hard choice. Yes. And it was difficult. Yet what ended up happening?
They lived and the king sort of got saved.
The king is able to turn the entire nation into following what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew was right, all because they showed that bit of character. Thank you, that's a great example. Jez, who's from your, okay. Micah, tell us, Mr. Micah Howell, who is your character that you chose to talk about character?
Saul/Paul.
Saul Paul, okay. Tell us about Saul Paul. What did he do that showed his character? Because he was, just so you know, guys, Saul killed Christians on a regular basis. So he was there when Stephen was stoned. He was actually on his way to go and wipe out all of the Christians in an entire city when Jesus found him. So how is it that you say Saul has character? Because all I see there is his reputation is one of murder and mayhem.
He got blinded by God, like when he was on his way to murder all the Christians. He got blinded by God, and so he couldn't see for a really long time. And then I think he heard a voice. Mm-hmm. Is that right? And then
Jesus shows up and says, "Why are you persecuting me?" So yes, Saul gets blinded. Is that the instance in which you see his character? That's what started to build it. Okay, yeah. The fact that he got blinded. How many of you know when Jesus strikes you blind, you're probably going to learn a lesson? Hands raised. Yeah, just saying. Okay, what else? Where is it you see his character shine through?
Was it him who was in the jail?
Yep.
Yeah.
A few times.
Yeah. But I think one time he was in there and he started singing really loud. And then, like, I think, like, everyone else started singing.
Yeah.
Brought down the jail.
Brought down the walls of the jail. Yeah, actually, right after he gets freed from jail, there was a prayer meeting going on at that time for Paul to be released. And Paul shows up at the door and knocks, and the guy goes, and he doesn't even believe that it's Paul. He thinks it's, like, an apparition of Paul because their prayer was answered. So that's really good. Paul saw Paul when he became Paul, showed character. Thank you very much. Last group, come on up. Did you want to say anything else about Job, or was the only example what was said? Okay. So ladies and gentlemen, this was a very quick exercise to show you one very basic and simple thing. Character is something that you can easily see in Scripture. Character is something that you can easily build through everyday action. It's not through one choice. It's not through Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego being horrible people the entire time, and then out of nowhere they decide, hey, we're not going to do what's wrong in this situation. It was a history of making the right choices to get them to that place. And for each of you, for each of us, for all of us in this room, character, walking it out in action, is going to require you guys doing things on a regular basis that matches up with what you know is right. And this is what we're going to do right now. We're going to pray. So everyone stand up. You can close your eyes because I'm pretty distracting. I'm pretty good looking. So close your eyes. I'm going to pray. Some of your character judgment thoughts are coming up there, people. Father God, I thank you that you have opened up the door for us to walk in something that the world strives to get for. God, I thank you that the world is continually trying to find a secret to success, or continually writing books and saying all these things about what it will be that will cause them to be great here on earth. And Lord, I thank you that it is through character and through walking in truth in who we are in you that allows us to walk in success. And it doesn't matter if it's here on earth, but we know it's going to be in heaven. And so, Lord, I ask that throughout this week, every single one of us will be able to put our character with where we know it should be, and that in every situation that comes our way, Lord, that you would allow us to line our character up with the choices that we make. And God, I ask that each one of these young men and women would see dreams and visions of the things that you have for their life, that God, they would be called to a higher level of understanding and life in you, and that most of all, God, that your love would radically change their circumstances, even tonight. That God, crisis and circumstances that pile up against them would hold nothing on them, but that God, their character and their love for you would shine through in everything they do. In your mighty name, amen. Guys, be blessed. We'll see you Sunday. Kids Fest tomorrow night if you guys are going to join us. Free event at the evening session. Paintball next Friday. There's no youth here. If it is your first time, if you're new, please go see us at the back. We have a CD and some other stuff we want to give you. So just take 2 minutes to fill something out. God bless.